Okay. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12. Do you see? Oh, there's Miss Elizabeth. Good. We were concerned that we had an illness or something among the brethren. Or something was on the road, a mishap or something. Okay. We are beginning with God's heart this morning. We've seen God's heart throughout our study. But in Deuteronomy 5:29 and in Psalm 81:13 that I gave you to read, it is just two passages that absolutely describe God's heart. We don't have to look at examples. We don't have to look at inference. We don't have to look at how God acted. We can take the Holy Spirit's word for God's heartfelt wish for His people. In Deuteronomy 5:29, what did someone find?
Keep all His commandments and everything would go well.
Exactly. And with their sons. But the word there is, oh, that they had such a heart. Not just lip service that the Israelites were doing so often. Not like what we might do sometimes. But a heart in them. A willingness, a desire to please, a reverence toward this God, that they would reverence Him so as to keep His commandments, so that it would be well. We started our whole series of lessons, the blessing, the curse, the life or the death in Deuteronomy, that the choice was given to them. As a nation, and as Adam and Eve, as it goes through the Bible, God gives men a choice whether to fear Him and keep His commandments or to suffer the consequences. And so, in Psalm 81:13, oh, that my people would listen to me and walk in my ways. Look at God's heart. He is pleading, you know, He wants them to obey. And those are not the only two verses, you know, that we can read about in His Word. You know, we read things like John 3:16 that's so familiar with us. For God so loved the world that He gave, you know, so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Look at the extent that God loved us and what He did for mankind. And then also in 2 Peter 3:9, we can read that He is patient. Not willing for any to perish, but to all come to repentance. So God wants His creation, and as we're studying today, He wanted His people Israel, His special holy nation, to respect Him, to reverence Him, to keep His word, and He was so that He could bless them and keep on blessing them. And so that they would not succumb to His wrath. But we're going to see that they did not. And so the next question that I had on your list was in Psalm 106. Let's turn to Psalm 106 as we go through it. We're not going to read the whole psalm, but I'm hoping that we will look at some of the passages. As we go through the reasons. The reasons were, after all, I'm just human. They were not. That wasn't a reason. The reason was, it's just the way I am. How many times do you hear that? Or, I just can't help it. Or, well, it's not my fault. I mean, look, God. Look what I'm suffering here. That wasn't any of the reasons. If those are excuses, number one, they're not reasons. But, you know, that's not what the Holy Spirit listed here. In Psalm 106, what we see here is the reasons of Israel's sin. Verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember your abundant kindnesses and rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. That didn't mean that they didn't know what was happening. They didn't understand so as to take it to heart and give God the glory. Oh, they did at the time. Remember when they went over and the song of Moses and the worshiping and all that? But time passed. Not very long time passed until we see them at Mount Sinai rebelling against God. And so, you know, they gave no thought. They didn't consider. What does that say? What does that denote or connote? I'm not as good as Steve about those two words. But what does that imply to you? They didn't give thought. What's that suggest to us today?
They weren't intentional at all.
What?
They weren't intentional. Their actions were on a whim of what they wanted, not necessarily for what they needed.
Okay, but did they give any thought to it?
No, they weren't intentional at all about it.
They didn't care. They didn't care about listening to God's word. In fact, we're going to look at some verses later on about being dull of hearing. So, you know, they gave no thought. They didn't consider. Is it important for us today to renew our minds constantly about God's grace and God's love and what He wants for our lives so that we consider those things? What about examining ourselves? Do you think these Israelites examined themselves to see if they were right? They didn't care enough to do that. They had prophets come to tell them. They didn't listen. They didn't say, you know, I need to straighten up. I was wrong in that. Well, we're going to see how God feels about that. And so, you know, they rebelled. What's the word rebel suggest to you? Just slipping up?
They go against.
Their will. Yes, going against, Catherine, that's true. But they will to do it. They willfully disobey. They renounce God's authority. Remember asking for a king? They have rejected me as king. And they asked for a king like all the other nations to rule over them. But that was just one of the examples of their attitude. And so they were bitter against. They blamed God. God, why did you bring Moses? Why did you bring us out here in this place to die? We had it so good over in Egypt, right? You know, how quickly you forget. They were being beaten. They were in harsh labor. But they wanted to go back. So, they sinned against. They had contempt. That's a harsh word, but that's what that means. Contempt. When our children rebel, or when ones who have once obeyed the truth and they turn away, it's rebellion against God. It's not just a small thing. They are showing contempt and crucify afresh the blood of Christ. And so this is not something slight. 13 and 14. What did you find in verses 13 and 14 of 106?
They forgot.
Quickly they forgot. It wasn't 100 years. It was short time. Time and time. And even in the all, even when they got to the judges, oh, they would cry out for the Lord, you know, after their sin, and He would save them. And then they turned right around and did the same thing again. They quickly forgot how He had saved them. They quickly forgot the Red Sea. They quickly forgot God speaking to them on Sinai and how fearful they were of Him. Moses, you go talk to God, you know, for us. They forgot His works. And the other thing that's interesting, did someone else pick up they didn't wait for His counsel? You know, not just the time on Mount Sinai when Moses went up there, and for 40 days he was up there, and they started, they got, where's Moses? You know, what's happening to Moses? So they went to Aaron, and Aaron made the calf. But they didn't wait. Moses had gone up to get the law. They had just experienced the happenings and the voice of God from Mount Sinai. How quickly they forgot. And so therefore, they didn't wait to listen to God. Sometimes we can fall into that. Something comes up in our lives and we pray about it, or we study God's Word and we want the answer right now. And if I don't get the answer I want, I'm going to go solve it, or I'm going to go ask somebody else to do something about it, and they're going to give me the wrong advice, just like Aaron did. And so we don't wait for the Word of God to act or for us to understand. We go headlong into sin, just like these Israelites did. And so they didn't wait, but they craved intensely. Now, that verse is very important. They craved intensely. What do you remember that they craved?
Meat. They wanted meat.
Meat.
Water.
One of them. Well, water. But, you know, but God was taking care of them. He had just made the promise, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to take you to the land. I'm going to give you the land. All those promises that He made in Exodus 6. Not more than 3 months prior.
And so, like they craved something physical to worship.
They wanted
to be able to see it, because they keep turning to that over and over again, despite God's physical presence.
Exactly. And they craved the king. They craved, you know, to be like the nations. They craved all the things that the nations around them could give them. And when they did that, they took on their idols. So they gave no thought. They forgot His works. And it says they tempted God. They tested God. Here's the God of the universe. He is their Savior. He is their God. He is the Lord. That's what they learned coming out of Egypt. I am the Lord. The Egyptians learned it. Pharaoh learned it. And the Israelites learned it. But they didn't remember. So as to keep it fresh in their minds. So as to listen to what He said. So, they tried God. They tempted God. They tested God. God's patience was with them. But later in the lesson, we're going to see when God's had enough. And so, you know, they became envious. Verse 16. Verses 21 to 22. Lauren, would you read Psalm 106, verse 21 and 22, please?
They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea.
Okay. So here again, it talks about not remembering, or they forgot. And, you know, I put this again because God gave them His example at the Red Sea and bringing them out of Egypt. And then He set up a feast so as for them to remember. Anybody remember what that was?
Passover.
The Passover. And you know, in we won't turn and read it because everybody knows about this. The Passover was to help them remember the day that he brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. If we go all the way from the Red Sea, all the way down the stream of time, in Judah's kingdom even, to a young man named Josiah. And remember one of the things that Josiah restored and that they did that hadn't been done since the days of, you know, coming out of Egypt? The Passover feast. All the way down to Josiah, they had not celebrated it as it should have been, as the Lord had said, in such a way. And so they had really fallen. And of course, you take Jeroboam, Jeroboam and those 10 tribes. I didn't go back and double check. Did they ever do the Passover? Is it ever mentioned that they did the Passover? They did not. As far as I could find and review, they never did the Passover.
Huh? Didn't change the date.
They know.
Didn't change the date.
Right. So what is the people to do when they start doing that? Where do you think they're going to end up when they start changing that and not remembering that, just like God said? They end up just exactly where Israel ended up. It's not overnight. It's one thing. And they added the gods. They didn't go to Jerusalem to worship. They set up their own places of worship on the hills in Dan and Bethel. Then they, you know, they changed what God had commanded, and they didn't even remember the Passover. The next thing they didn't remember and keep that was actually set up right there was the Sabbath. You can read through the prophets and you'll see how that they really did not keep the Sabbath the way that the Lord said. And if you broke the Sabbath, you were supposed to be stoned to death. That was God's way of saying, this is so important that if you don't keep it the way I say keep it, stone them to death. Let's read Exodus 31:31. Melissa, you want to read Exodus 31:31, please?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Didn't I say Exodus? Is it not Exodus
31:13? 13. Yeah. 13.
Okay. Well, let's go to Exodus 12:42 then. I must have written that down, or I got it dyslexia. You know, changed them around. Okay. I'll go over there and check. So let's read Exodus 12:42.
It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations.
Okay. So what's that say? Why were they to keep it? What were they to remember? That he brought them out. You know, they say keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then it goes in into talking about God talks about how in 7 days, you know, in 6 days he created the earth, and in 7th day he rested, and it talks about the rest. And, you know, a Sabbath rest and all this. But he said, keep the Sabbath day holy as a reminder of when I brought you out and gave you rest And then he's going to take them to the promised land. But then we learn in the New Testament when Joshua was talking about the day of rest, there is another day of rest. Not just the rest in the promised land, but another day of rest. So it comes forward in time. Remembering God. Remember what God has done for you. Keep the Sabbath. Remember the Passover. Keep the Passover. Look what I have done for you, said the Lord. But they forgot and they didn't remember so as to observe. And so they did not keep the Sabbath correctly. They did not do the Passover. And so even in 24 and 25, Pat, you want to read 106, 24 and 25?
Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word, but were within their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Therefore he spoke to them that he would cast them down.
Okay, 106, 24, and 25. Okay. What's the problem there? What?
They did not believe his word.
They didn't believe his word.
They didn't trust in him.
But you know, in not believing that, the strong language is despise the land. Here, they promised the land. They were going to be given the land. They despised the promise that God gave them. Look at the attitude towards what God had promised them. When we don't have in our hearts, this is where we started, the attitude to listen to God and to trust in His promises, the Holy Spirit uses the word despised here as the attitude that's at the heart of it. And so they didn't believe God and they grumbled and they mumbled and they, you know, and they turned against God and they looked at other things. How can we despise God's word, God's promises today? Can we do that? How can we do that?
Know the promises of God and what they have waiting for them if they, you know, will just listen and obey and they fall away and they don't. They let the world become their priority.
What's the first thing sometimes that you hear from people, but I love God? He knows my heart. He sure does. When they don't keep God's word, like these Israelites, they despise what God has said. Yes, Elizabeth.
So verse 24.
Yes.
Is this when Moses sent the 12 spies in? Because after that, you know, they were growing in their tents and then mm-hmm. they had to cast down in the wilderness. So it's not when they actually see the land when they're about to cross over. Okay.
No, they despised the promise of God. They despised the hope of the promised land. Which leads me to my point that I'm going to be making now. In Hebrews 6, the Hebrew writer talks about faith and hope in order to obtain the promise of eternal life through Jesus. But then in Hebrews 10, we read about some unbelief of the Israelites. And so this is an example for us not to fall into unbelief. Because of circumstances, because of fear, those 12 spies, only two come back with a good report. The others were bad, and the people followed the bad report. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. They didn't believe God. Joshua and Caleb pointed to God. God is going to give us the land. We can do this.
Caleb wanted to go that night.
We can do this. But they didn't listen. They despised the land. They despised the promises. And they grumbled and they complained and they wanted to go back to Egypt. So, just as a side note, what did God do to them? Not one of them. They despised it. Guess what, folks? You're not going to get it.
It's really interesting to me when I studied this again. I guess when I was growing up, I always thought that there were generations between, the what happened in Egypt and the time that they got to go into when God brought them to the land of Canaan. And that's not the case. It's the same people who saw the plagues, who saw what happened on the mountain when Moses went up and got the law. It's those same people that saw the Red Sea and Moses telling them, you be quiet and you watch and you see what God's going to do. They didn't even have to do anything. You just stand there and watch. It's those same people that is standing there at the edge of Canaan not going in after they've seen everything that God has done for them.
Same people who had to put that foot on that land with that water standing there to cross, in the sea, to cross the Red Sea. The same people had to put their foot in that sea. But they didn't trust any longer to put their foot in the Promised Land. So, they grumbled. In Colossians 1, 4 and 5, I'll read it. I just put it down for our learning. Paul is writing, of course, to the Colossians church. And he says in verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith, there's the bottom line, in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of. Here's the reason. The hope laid up for you in heaven. Look what hope and trusting God's promise did for these Colossian brethren. It'll do the same for us if we follow their example and Paul's teaching, the Holy Spirit, of course, speaking. But, since the day you heard it, they've been doing this. So, hope and trust in the promises of eternal life must have the same effect on our hearts as it should have had on the Israelites going into the Promised Land. Accepting God for His promises, doing what He says, so that they can go in to the Promised Land, so that they can be faithful to Him. But they did not fear Him, therefore they did not keep His commandments. So, any other thoughts before we go to verse 25 in Psalm 106? So, we've already said this. It comes around to this. They didn't listen to the voice of God. They just didn't listen. Go ahead.
It comes back to Deuteronomy 31. They did not really hear, they did not really know of God's word and why they should fear Him. They just knew what they should do, but they never actually took it into their hearts. I think that's such a danger of even children growing up in the church, that they don't truly learn God's love and Christ's purpose for all that we're commanded to do. They just learn to obey. And it's just so important to teach the why over the what, because the what is very easy. You know, what to do is easy. But the why, you really got to learn that for yourself. And they didn't know the why, and they didn't want to know the why. They just ignored it. God saved them over and over and over again, and they didn't even see it.
Yeah. Matthew and Luke talk about this. One's in Matthew 13:15, if you want to write it down. And the other one is in Acts 28:27. And you know what they talk about? Becoming dull of hearing. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about that. They're talking about the Israelites, and they're talking about the Jews of that day. They had become dull of hearing. I don't want to hear it. You know, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're the people of God. We're the children of Abraham. Dull of hearing. We can fall into that. Did someone say something?
They knew they were chosen people, so they felt that I gave them a free reign for them to do what they wanted to do, because they kept, you know, because God had always saved them, you know, time and time again. And so they just felt that, you know, like sometimes like a kid, you know, they know their parents can take care of them, but then kind of just do what they want.
What did they take on that Jesus did not commend them for? In fact, he warned them against in like Matthew 7. What did he say that they took on? The traditions
of men.
They took on their traditions, and the Pharisees were, you know, prime, and scribes were prime to that. They loved the show. They loved the glory. They loved to do their traditions instead of the Word of God. They were supposed to be the teachers of the law. Jesus says, do as they say, don't do as they do. As long as they were teaching the Word of God. Okay. I wanted to read Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Because this is talking also about being dull of hearing. But this is the Hebrew writer. And this is talking to Christians. Concerning him, that's about Jesus. He's a son. He learned obedience. You know, all of these things about the order of Melchizedek and all that. We have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Listen to what he says after this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And then it goes on down. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You take all these verses and you take others that talk about not being trained by the Word of God, not giving thought daily, not examining, not having the right respect for the Word of God so as to make the changes in your life. What dull of hearing causes in the end is apostasy. That's what happened to Israel, and that has happened to many, many people who have once professed the name of Christ. And take heed lest we fall, because the devil is still out there. There is still a battle between light and darkness. There is a battle between walking as Christ says and walking according to the world. The Israelites chose walking according to the world and their gods, and not the commandments of God. And it led to their total apostasy and destruction. So, quickly, as we go through this anger, any other thoughts about dull of hearing and not mingling with the world? You know, Steve had a really good lesson about 2 John. And then we read in 1 Corinthians 10 about idolatry and being warned against that and what that could mean. 1 Corinthians 5, it even talks about an immoral brother, and he talks about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Come out and be separate. Get him away from you. Don't allow people who will not follow God's word, will not listen, to be an influence in your lives. Okay? Don't imitate. That's what Israel. They imitated the nations around. We want to be like the nations around us. We are warned not to do that. Any other thoughts? So, what did God do? While they were in the wilderness and in the land, what did God do?
The waste he was eating, he swallowed up David and Byron by the earth, fire consumed the company that was with them, cast them down in the wilderness, to cast their seed amongst the nations, and scattered them in the land, the plague broke out among them. In God's anger, he gave them into the hand of the nations who hated them.
Absolutely. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful life? Doesn't that sound like a bunch of blessings from the God of heaven? The God of love. God's not going to do that. This is what he did, but he's not through. Why did the Lord save Israel during all this?
Because of his promise to Abraham.
And you know, the reading says, for his name's sake. Remember Moses' argument when he was going to destroy the nation out there in the wilderness? What are the Egyptians, what are the nations around going to think? You bring out your people with all that power and your mighty hand, you bring them out here and you just destroy them. For his name's sake. Because he made the oath to Abraham. He remembered his covenant. You see, God is righteous. God keeps his promise.
But it also says loving kindness as well, which is loving kindness a made up English word because they couldn't figure out how to really express God's true love, like, for his people? Like, yes, he made a promise and he's keeping his promise. Yes, he wants to make sure that he honors his, you know, can he brought out his people. But also, the base root of everything is his loving kindness.
Right. So, we come to D in your lesson. Eventually, from the time they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, all the way to 722, God's been patient. He's been kind, but he has sent warnings. What had God done over and over again because he loved them? From 2 Kings 17. Let's turn over there to 2 Kings. We're not going to read all that because for lack of time. I hope you read it. But what had God done over and over again because he loved them? Verse 13. 2 Kings.
He reminded them over and over, follow my word.
You know, God just didn't say in Exodus 3, Moses, you go tell the people. He just didn't say in Exodus 20 and following, you know, or Deuteronomy even before the last, you know, the second giving of the sermon and everything that Moses preached of the law. Keep my commandments, teach them to your children. Here's the blessings, here's the curse, here's the, you know, life, here's death. He didn't just say it one time. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. There was Moses. Then there was Joshua. Then there were the judges. Then there was, you know, Samuel. And every prophet after that. Until we finally get to Hosea. And then we really see what God's going to do. So, over and over again, his prophets, his seers, trying to get them to repent and keep his commandments. Does God warn us every day?
I think he does.
How does he do it?
Through his word.
If we allow him to warn us, he can warn us every day.
I think we can also see by the people around us.
As an example?
Yeah, as an example of not following versus following his word.
And we can even look at the world every day and see the consequences of sin. Don't you learn something from that? If you don't learn something for it, wake up. So, we don't have to have a Samuel showing up on our doorstep every day, knocking on the door. But we've got the Word of God. We've got the Gospels. We've got the Epistles. We've got the Old Testament as an example. That's why we're studying this, so that we don't fall into these same hearts that they had. Okay, so what is said of Israel in verses 14 through 16? Same thing. They did not listen. What stiffened their neck?
I am. He called them a cow. I don't know if you've ever tried to move a cow, but it's really hard.
Right.
They don't move. And they're bigger than you and way heavier. He calls them a cow. I mean, a cow is known to die in the snow or cut himself on his neck because he's trying to eat the grass on the other side of the fence.
Which sort of leans into, because they were stiff-necked and they didn't listen, you know, people just don't do nothing when that's the case. They just don't sit there and do nothing. These people turned and worshiped idols. They just didn't say, I'm not going to listen to God, therefore I'm not going to listen to anything. They listened. They respected. They worshiped something else. And I'm afraid that's what we could do today. If we become stiff-necked, wonder if we're caught in the wrong about something. And we're shown truth about it. But man, we don't like it. I'm going to have to change something. We've got the same choice as they did. We either become stiff-necked and follow after vain idols, or we listen to God and straighten up. So, but we see them not doing it. They forsake the Lord God of heaven that saved them. Totally. So what did God finally do? You're number three. What happens in 722? In verse 23, 2 Kings 17, what happened to him? The king of Assyria come and got them. We have moved down the stream of time from time of Moses. And then we're going to turn over to Hosea, because Hosea is the prophet during Hoshea, the king of Israel, 732 to 722. Let's turn to Hosea 9. We're going to finish quickly. In Hosea 9, do not rejoice, O Israel, for you have played the harlot, verse 1, forsaking your God. You have loved harlots, earning on every threshing floor, so forth and so forth. So, You go down to verse 7. This is when God has had enough. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet, the fool, you know, he's telling them everything's okay. You're God's people. You're this, you're that. The inspired man is demented. Because of the grossness of your iniquity and because of your hostility. That's not talking about against their neighbor. It's so great. What's God saying? What's the lesson? I've had enough. The day of retribution is here. God has a day of retribution when he has had enough. Okay, Hosea 7:2. Let's go back there a minute. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are before my face. And 9:9. Same thing. They have gone deep into depravity as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. The lesson about God. This is when we're studying the lesson. We're learning about this God of the universe. Yes, he had all that loving kindness. Yes, he had that mercy. Yes, he had that the blessings. But he will remember. And he will punish sin. Unless you turn and you listen. For those in under Christ's dispensation, Christ came for the forgiveness of sins. If we have faith in that and turn to God and trust in that, he remembers them no more. But Israel didn't. In fact, we're going to see that when Jeroboam, even back when Jeroboam was king, Amos 5, 20 through 27 talks about that. And he says, they will not repent. It was beyond them. You know what the Hebrew writer talks about in chapter 6 when someone is turned away? There's no getting them back. There's no more repentance for sin, for they don't trust in the blood of Jesus anymore. So, these people did not trust in the God, their Savior, anymore. So therefore, he remembered, and he punished. In Hosea 9:15, Catherine, you want to read that?
Hosea what?
Hosea 9:15. And Pat, you haven't read, turn to 13:9. Oh, you did? Okay. Sally, you want to turn while she's turning there? Hosea 13, okay?
All their evil is at Gilgal. Indeed, I came to hate them there. Because of the wickedness of their deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. 13:1.
Let's talk about this in a minute. God hates the wicked. What a strong word. Remember when we first started and we looked at the words about God's wrath? Hate was one of those words. And it's the opposite of love no more. He hates not that he's got this total, emotional thing like we do, you know, just driving him. He hates so that he hates sin. So he hates in that they have become his enemy, therefore. He won't love them anymore so as to bless them. They will suffer his wrath. turn against. C is an enemy. That's hard to say that God won't love me anymore. The same God that so loved me that He gave Jesus to die for me. God's a loving God. He's not going to send anybody to hell. That's the devil's lie. Okay. In Hosea 13, Sally, please. 9 through 11.
O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in thee is thine help. I will be thy king, where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and a princess. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath.
Okay. This is towards the end. God has given His case. Hosea is speaking. Look what I did for you, Israel. But you've destroyed yourself. Did you catch that? It's not God's fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's your fault. God blesses with mercy. He removes His blessings in His wrath. He destroys those who are against Him. Hosea 14, 1 through 4. Elizabeth, let's finish with that.
Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands, for in you the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them.
What's God saying here?
Repent. Huh? Well, like you said, repent and return.
Would He have forgiven them? Yeah. Would He have saved them?
Yeah. And His punishment is hoping He's going to make them return.
And then looking forward to the time of Christ, His spiritual Israel, and the remnant, you know, coming out. The gospel is going to be for them. The gospel is going to be for those, some of those Jews, but generations, you know. It's going to be for the Gentiles. I remember, you know, I will forgive. But look what you got. You've got to turn back to me. You've got to trust in what I say. You've got to obey. But they didn't. And Israel never returned. They were scattered. Assyria did them in.
And they're still in trouble.
And so, Lord willing, I appreciate